You are at home with your husband and four children, preparing lunch like any other day. Then armed terrorists surround your town. They storm homes, steal farm produce, and kill anyone who resists. You flee into the bushes, scattering with your loved ones in different directions. When the dust settles, you are told your husband's body has been found. Home is no longer safe, so you leave to start over. But what would starting over look like? Welcome to Vestiges of Violence. Here, we talk about survivors. For Human Angle, I am Sabika. Hawa Ali was 40 days postpartum when Aura, her town in Zamfara, northwestern Nigeria, was attacked by terrorists. Aura had been attacked a few times before. The terrorists had abducted residents, demanded ransoms, and prevented farmers from working on their land. Once, they kidnapped Hawa's nephew. The family negotiated the ransom down from 5 million naira to 3 million naira. It was paid and he was released, but the threat never left. Hawa and her husband had hoped the situation would improve, and the attackers had even promised to stop the raid. But when harvest season returned, so did the violence. She remembers clearly the day of that attack that changed her life. Her husband had brought cassava home for them to eat, and they had just heard word of a nearby village being attacked when the gunfire started. It was too late to run. The gunmen were already close. People fled into the wilderness, falling into ditches and thorny bush as they tried to escape. In the aftermath, neighbors searched the bushes and nearby hiding spots for loved ones. That's when they found his body. He was buried alongside at least 12 others confirmed dead from that single attack. The village mourned.
I saw my husband's corpse, but we did not allow the children to see him like that.
Hawa and her husband had been married for nearly 15 years. He was known as a quiet, humble man who built wells and cut timber for a living. He avoided conflict, offered good counsel, and lived an honorable life.
His relatives live in Gusau, but I don't have any of their contact details.
After the burial, Hawa went briefly to Gusau to stay with relatives. But with both her parents late and no lasting support there, she eventually traveled to Niger State in north central Nigeria to live with a paternal aunt. She has now been in Niger for 7 months. In the beginning, Hawa had nothing. She began begging in the streets of Mina to feed her children. Some people helped, others turned away. Over time, as people came to know her story, they began to show kindness. Some offered her small domestic jobs and would pay her to sweep, wash dishes, and do laundry. Others gave her food in exchange instead. Today, she remains with her aunt, who runs a modest food business and shares what she earns. Hawa also contributes whenever she can from her daily labor, using the little she earns to buy food for herself and her children.
When I was relocating, I was so disoriented and overwhelmed with grief that I did not even think to collect their numbers. I also don't have a phone, but my daughter is there, so I want to go and check on them.
One of her daughters was taken in by a nearby family who enrolled her in school a few months ago. Another child of hers remains in Zamfara with relatives, and her youngest is still by her side in Mina. What haunts Hawa most is how quickly everything was taken.
What pains me the most is I was living with my husband and he was healthy and fine. He wasn't sick. There was nothing wrong. I was sitting with him one moment, and the next, I had to look at his corpse.
The trauma has left her in a constant state of worry. She struggles to eat and often withdraws into silence. Some days, she goes without food entirely, lost in dark, consuming thoughts. Even now, there are moments when the grief feels raw, as if it only just happened.
There are days when the pain feels manageable, but then there are others when it all comes back heavier than before.
But through all of it, she holds onto her faith. She says the only thing that gives her strength is her faith in God and prayer. When she prays at night, she finds some relief and sleep comes easier. Hawa hopes the government will protect their homes and support people like her to rebuild their lives. For now, she knows home is no longer a safe place, so she is learning to make home out of a new place, living with new people. This episode was reported and scripted by Sabika Bello. Multimedia editor is Anthony Asamota, and executive producer is Ahmed Salkida. In order to protect the identities of survivors, we use voice actors for this episode. If you or anyone you know have a story to share on Vestiges of Violence, do not hesitate to get in touch with us.